The wages of sin, you're all very familiar, unfortunately. And we should be familiar with the last part as well. The gift of God is? The gift of God is eternal life, and that is the most important part. The first part is just reality. We're talking about death. Unfortunately, death is part of life, but it won't stay that way. Okay? It's getting brighter. I think everybody will be able to see this pretty good here. Is there good news? Now, I've done a number of these. This is part of an evangelistic series, and these are, you know, I'm kind of doing them randomly, not in order, because I'm doing them not every week. But this is an earlier one, but you know, sometimes we, as Seventh-day Adventists, we are very good at studying out all the complicated and difficult stuff, and we forget the basics. So we're going to go over some of the basics, but we're going to do some challenging things today as well, okay? So let's start. One of the challenging things that come up, if you've seen pictures like this, there's many pictures dealing with dinosaurs. Now, do dinosaurs really exist? Oh, yes. Are you sure? How many have seen one? Now, do you know that an alligator is technically a dinosaur? Anybody seen an alligator? Okay. But the majority of the ones that we see in pictures are extinct. But how do you know they exist? We lived in Price, Utah. I don't know if you guys know where Price is. It's kind of right in the middle of the state. And they have a museum there with all the footprints that have come out of the coal mines and a number of different things. Very fascinating, very fascinating. And I was an avid evolutionist when I was a kid. So when I became a Christian, I had to figure this out. How can you be a Christian and an evolutionist? Now, there's different types of evolution, okay? But this is the scenario that we had, or that I had. I'd been taught in school, which I think everybody else has the same situation if you go through the public schools. In the beginning, well, you started off as the amoeba, and then, well, I guess it was the Big Bang to start, and then you got the amoeba, and then you go up, and finally you get to the bigger animals. And what are they doing right now? You just look at the picture carefully. Food chain, which means there is lots of the wages of sin. Okay. Other pictures, National Geographic, this is where I got it. You got the nasty guys, the ones with all the teeth, and the other guys, you know, Brontosaurus, Tyrannosaurus Rex, and Tyrannosaurus Rex, he makes dinner out of everybody's kids. And this is normal life. This is regular. This is what happens on a regular basis, okay? At least that's what some believe. Now, you have to be merciful, because I believed this for years. It didn't mean I hated God or anything. It's just, this is what I was taught. And other times, there's just questions. People have lots of questions. There's tons of evolutionary theory going around. And if you don't get your questions answered, you think about it and you say, it makes perfect sense. That's the way it should be. Millions of years, okay? But as a Christian, I went through some challenging times because I said, I can't be a Christian and be an evolutionist. The books don't match. Doesn't match up. And so what do you see? This actually, if you look at the time frame on the Jurassic and all that kind of stuff, this is probably like 150 million years ago, according to evolution. These are the kind of things that you would see on a regular basis. Just thank God we weren't there, or we'd be... Could you imagine living with, you know, Terry the Tyrannosaurus Rex in your backyard? You wouldn't get much of a garden grown. You wouldn't go outside. Wouldn't matter if you were inside either. He would just chew through the roof, okay? So it wouldn't be a very easy time to live, but this is a good question we're going to get into. So the main idea that is taught is that death always existed. There was never a time without death, okay? And sin, what is sin? If you're an evolutionist or if you're an atheist, it's nothing. It doesn't exist. There's no sin, okay? Survival of the fittest. As a matter of fact, when you think about it, and you think about it all the way through, survival of the fittest means that whoever has the biggest gun wins. And that it's okay because this is normal. This is just part of the way we're designed. So, and see, this is the problem. Because you think, well, then where does morality come in? There should be no morality because the bigger the bite, the longer you last. Does this make sense? So the one with the biggest guns, when he wins, this is normal. As a matter of fact, you guys have heard of fascism. You know whose name goes along with that? Mussolini. There was another fella. As a matter of fact, I understand he has the same birthday as I do. Hitler. Anyways, he was thinking along these lines. I can't guarantee that. I didn't ask him. But the idea that the strongest win, and this is just the way it is. Okay? So if you start thinking along these lines and you start applying the principles that evolution has, you're going to end up with a dog-eat-dog world in no time flat. Okay? The strongest win, and the strongest win, that's fine. That's perfectly fine. As a matter of fact, when the strongest win, then the strongest continue as they procreate. So we're going to have stronger, better people, according to the evolutionary theory. Okay? So sin doesn't exist. Killing your brother, it's okay. Not a problem. Because survival of the fittest. See, most people don't really think about this, but as I thought about this once I became a Christian, I thought, well, this doesn't match because Christianity is like you sacrifice. You don't kill your brother. You allow him. And then you think, well, how in the world are Christians gonna make it? Because the survival of the fittest. And if you're a Christian and you're not out to kill your brother, but you're willing to die for him, then survival of the fittest will kill off Christianity in no time flat. Has it done that? Ah, there's something going on there. Okay, got to think about this. Okay, we're going to go on a little bit, but this is the major idea. Death always existed, sin does not exist. And, you know, I mean, there's a different scenario. I'm hoping you've heard of this one. I like this one better. But this is what I read in the Bible. And I had to really make these connect. I couldn't make them connect, actually. Now, just to be careful, you guys know what macroevolution is and microevolution is? You guys know the difference? What's macroevolution?
Macro would represent major changes.
Major changes. We don't want to use the difficult terminology, where we have one species changing to another species, changing to another. Microevolution is where you have within a species lots of variety. As a matter of fact, you don't all look alike. That's called microevolution. Some of you are bigger, some of you are smaller, some of you are taller, some of you are shorter. Okay, if you have dogs, do all dogs look alike? There's lots of dogs, but in the end, they're all what? Dogs, okay? You don't see evolution in action, macroevolution. You don't see a dog changing to a different species or a cat changing to a different. There's no evidence of that anywhere. People have been looking for it, but they haven't found it. So we're going to get into the Bible scenario of in the beginning, okay? In the beginning, God created what? The heaven and the earth. Now, I like this scenario, okay? No sin, no death. Everything was Talk about having flowers. You know, I was noticing some of the flowers are coming out. It was springtime there all the time. Flowers and incredible scenery like you've never seen. I want to walk in front of the... Can everybody see? Am I walking where I shouldn't? Okay, so no sin or death. That's the way it was in the beginning. Okay, beauty, love, peace. This almost sounds magical. Sounds like a myth. Was this real? This is actually what happened. Okay, now, do I have any proof that this is the way it was? Is there any proof that this actually happened?
There's evidence, like mitochondrial DNA.
Well, there's some evidence, but generally speaking, I just have to take it by somebody's word. Now, whose word would that be? God's word. Ah, there you go. God's word. So really, we might find some evidence, and there actually is quite a bit when you start looking. Evidence for creation. Evidence for what the world used to look like. Evidence that we are going down rather than up, because evolutionary says we're getting better. You know, I don't know. We are getting better at killing. That's true. We are getting better at killing, but. So, love, beauty, peace, this is the kind of place we used to have. This is the kind of place that God has in store for us in the future. That's what I'm looking forward to. But, you know, well, in the end, what did God say? Then God saw everything that he had made, and it was indeed, it was very good. It was fabulous. It was sin-free, okay? Then what happened? I always like the pictures they have. See, this is the serpent of many colors. You get all sorts of interesting things. The wing, that's the serpent's wing. And Eve is looking at the fruit. Now, is not sure if it was an apple. I don't think it is an apple, but it doesn't make really much difference what kind of fruit it was. The bottom line is Eve decided she was going to eat the fruit that God said, don't touch it. And so she did. And what is the conclusion? Cemeteries everywhere. Okay? The wages of sin is death. Now see the difference here. Evolution says death has been in existence from the beginning. The Bible says death started only when sin happened. Before that, there was no death. And you have to think carefully about this, because it really comes down to two choices as a Christian. And see, this is where you run into a tangle. I meet some Christians who kind of mix and match. They mix the evolution with the creation, and there's a little bit of mixture, and you have to be very careful, because sin causes death. But if you believe that death has been in existence forever, then the wages of sin is not death, is it? Death is just natural. That's just normal. And that's why many evolutionists believe that sin doesn't exist, because the wages of sin is death. Are you following? So Jesus saves us from death and sin, and that's the gospel. And that's why you have to be very careful, because if death has always existed, Jesus doesn't save from sin and death, because death is not something you need to be saved from. It's just part of what's been happening forever. Okay? You don't need a savior. Jesus doesn't save. Sin doesn't exist. Okay? And then you run into some challenges. See? If death has always existed, we don't need Jesus, and you don't need the gospel, and we don't need the preacher. Well, that's the end of me. Because the preacher preaches what? The gospel. If you don't need the gospel, you don't need the preacher, and you don't need the church. We can save some money, you guys. No, that's how it would work. And you don't need the Bible, and eventually you don't need what? This is exactly the conclusion that many people who are hook, line, and sinker into evolution, they come to. Okay? This is why you have to be very careful, especially as a Christian. You start getting your mindset towards evolution, you will end up at the bottom line here. You will end up there. And that's not where we want to go. That's not where we want to go. So that's, and you know who loves this? You got it. He is delighted to have everybody take the Bible and chuck it. And the God of the Bible as well. Okay? So this is important. When we talk about grace, we need to be very careful. Okay, so the question is, not if, but when. When did the dinosaurs exist? Were they there 50 million years ago or 150 million? Yeah, I guess if you look at the Bible, the earth wasn't even here 150 million years ago. So they'd be floating around in space or something like that. I don't know. But the Bible does have a number of things that happen after sin. Now, let me ask you a question. We were discussing this, and I'm not going to get into this very much. But the question is, are all dinosaurs nasty? Are there some... You know the Brontosaurus, the big guy in the back there? They're actually vegetarian. Now, you wouldn't mind getting stepped on by one, but... You know, if you look at the Bible, you could have some dinosaurs that existed when God created, the nice ones, okay? But usually when we think of dinosaurs, we think of what? I mean, if you watch any movies, don't watch them. They're all gory. But if you've seen any movies about dinosaurs, the dinosaurs are man's best friend? Or is man is their best meal? You follow what I'm saying. And so the nasty dinosaurs, I couldn't imagine living on the earth at the same time. But you'll find, actually, interestingly enough, when you look at some of those footprints that they have in the museum in Price, you'll find that they're human footprints right alongside of the dinosaurs. So they lived at the same time, okay? Which is quite interesting. You can do some research on that. But I think the dinosaurs lived right before the flood. Somebody was tweaking animals. I mean, hey, lions were not the same way they were before the fall as they were after the fall. Anyways, just interesting thoughts to think about. But it's important to understand this. It's important to understand. The most important thing you can understand is the basics that the Bible teaches. The wages of sin is what? Death. Death would not be here if there was no sin. Okay? And how many have sinned? That include you? Even if you've been really nice for the last couple weeks? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And see, this is the most important thing you can understand. Because without understanding that we are sinners, we don't seek after what? A Savior. Okay? This is part of the problem. Okay? Sin separates us from God. This is what happened with Adam and Eve. Okay? God came down and said, Adam. Actually, God knew what was going on, but he kind of wanted Adam to answer the question. I mean, sometimes I know the answer, but I'll ask a question anyways, right? So God came down and said, Adam, where are you? I can see you. And Adam says, don't get near me. What was he ridden with? Guilt, nakedness, all these things. And so, you know, what does sin produce? Okay? There's a list of things. Now, we're going to have a quiz at the end of this, so I want you to remember these. Okay? Sin produces fear, anxiety, which is not too different than fear, insecurity, guilt, emptiness, loneliness. Do you see that around in the world these days? Even Christians struggle with these things. And part of that is because sometimes our faith is not as strong as it should be, okay? But this is what sin produces. Fear, anxiety, insecurity, guilt, emptiness, loneliness. And I could probably make the list a lot longer, but we get the basic idea, okay? And these are some of the things that people do to medicate. You follow what I'm saying by medicate? Why do people want to medicate anyways? Why would somebody want to be drugged? Any idea? It's all pain relief. It's all pain relief. That's right. If I could just get away from living in a sinful world, I'll find happiness. Do they find happiness? The more you medicate or use some kind of addiction to get away from your feeling of loneliness, pain, and sin and all that, the worse it is. And the devil knows that, so he tricks you. Romans 3:10 through 12. Now, this is the gospel. This is the basic gospel that we need to understand. Okay? No one is good. Now, somebody might argue and say, but Pastor, I've been a really good boy for the last 30 years. Has anybody gained the victory over selfishness here? I mean, like you've never been selfish for the last any kind? I didn't write the book. My job is to just tell you what it says. Romans chapter 3, 10 through 12. No one is good. No one in all the world, this is not the King James, but no one in all the world is innocent. No one has ever really followed God's paths. Is that true? Even those who are very dedicated have a tint of selfishness. So that's really what it's referring to. Everyone has turned away. All have gone wrong. No one anywhere has kept on doing what is right. No one. And then this is another text. There's a lot of good texts. We're going to go through a number of texts. All of us have become like one who is unclean. And all our righteousness, all our righteous acts are like what? Filthy rags. So even the people who are really good folk, you know, I can think of a couple people, but, you know, you think, well, who is the most patient, kind person on the earth other than Jesus? Okay? Mother Teresa, that's what a lot of people would say. Okay? But it says all their acts, even the best person, are as what? Filthy rags. Filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. Sin is a tyrant. Sin is a tyrant. Jesus is going to come, and he's going to wipe sin off the map. That's the key. That's the whole purpose of it. He doesn't hate the sinner. What does he hate? He hates the sin. Can an Ethiopian change his skin or a leopard its spots? Neither can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil. I'm not sure if this is a promise or what, but this is the challenge that we have, okay? And, you know, there's only one way out. There's only one way out, and that's to have a Savior. And so we need to remember this, especially as Adventists, because we follow all the things the Bible teaches, and so that gives us a bigger list of things that we should be doing. We say, I've got one down, got two down, oh, didn't get that one. Got this one down, got that, oh, didn't get that one. And what does the devil do? Got to be reminded of this. I review this often. The devil comes and says, see, you are not good enough to make it. And you say, well, you're right. Isn't that the truth? How many here are good enough to go to heaven? No hands? Come on, somebody's got to be good enough. Nobody's good enough to get to heaven. And the devil says, see, God can't take you. He doesn't want any misfits. He doesn't want the losers. He wants the good folk. And see, we as Adventists, we forget this. That the gospel is not that we are perfect. God's going to help us improve. Okay? We can become Christ-like. As a matter of fact, we become partakers of the divine nature. This is the promise. But does that get us into the kingdom? What gets us into the kingdom? A Savior. Not a good character. We got to remember that. We forget that too often. John 3:16. This is one we know, but we need to go over it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever does what? Believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So what is the key for us to get into the kingdom? Believing God's word. Okay? And when we start to believe that he gives us grace free of charge, that's just the beginning. He says, now you're in. But he says, I want to do more for you than just that. He says, I want to clean you up as well. So we don't keep doing the same old foolishness that we've been doing, because God helps us. So grace gives us two blessings, forgiveness, or maybe I should say three or four blessings, forgiveness, salvation, and a new walk with Christ. New creature. We become new creatures. Okay? Behold the Lamb of God. What does he do? Who takes away the sin of the world. This is the blessing that God wants us to have. Okay? For by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves, nothing you are doing, nothing you have done, nothing you could do would be good enough anyways. Nothing of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing you can do to get it except just take the gift. But we have a hard time taking the gift because the devil says, don't touch that gift. You're not worthy. You can't have that gift. And we can argue back. God says, I am not unworthy. That's true. But he says he saves unworthy sinners. Give me the gift. So we have the gift free of charge, not because we're good enough, but because God has promised to give it to unworthy sinners like us. Don't forget that. That's the gospel. Okay? That's the gospel. Okay? It's a free gift. A man is justified by faith apart from keeping the law. Is that true? No, Adventists, sometimes we don't teach that. Sometimes we say, you have to keep the law. You ain't going to make it. Is that true? Maybe. Can you get there by keeping the law? No. Can you get there breaking the law? No. Well, this is more confusing, Pastor. The law is the standard, and we're pressing toward that mark. But we don't get into the kingdom by keeping the law. We get in there by faith and faith alone. And that's the part that you want to remember. That's what Romans says. Do we believe everything that the Bible teaches? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God? A man is justified. That means you, whoever you might be, Jim, you are justified. Got to put your name in here. This makes it. Jim is justified by faith apart from anything he does. We've got to get that into our head because the devil's trying to get it out of our head. Okay? He wants to put something else in there other than God's word. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Okay? John 10:10. Now these steps, there's different steps you can take to find peace of mind. And these are some of the basics. You need to accept what the word says. That's the most important part. And it says what? For all have sinned. Remember we were talking about that. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, I need to accept that I'm a sinner. Okay? I'm a sinner. That's the first thing I need to accept. Because if you don't think you're a sinner, what does Christianity do for you? Nothing. And how much will you seek it? Never. Thank you for helping. So that's the first thing. You need to believe God's word. That's what it said. John 3:16, got to believe. Okay? Acts 16:31 is another one. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Now, this is not cheap grace. This is expensive grace. Somebody had to die for you. Okay? Three, you need to confess. Now, these are, you can do these in order. You can do them in different, you know, they don't have to be in order. It's not mandatory. You accept what God's word says about you as a sinner. You believe that he saves sinners. You confess your sins. I don't think you can do these in order. Sometimes they all come at once. Okay? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Anything else? See, this is the double blessing. He also wants to clean us up and to clean us from all unrighteousness. So he pardons us and he cleans us up. It's a package deal. You can't get either without the other. You cannot get forgiveness unless you take the cleaning package as well. You cannot get cleaned unless you believe you've been forgiven. Okay? Isn't there some text that says somewhere, you know, faith without works is dead? You know what dead means? That means it's just sitting there, not doing anything. There you go, yeah. Doesn't exist, actually, because when somebody dies, they're done existing. Isn't that the case? Acts 3:19, repent therefore and be what? Converted. Okay, so the key is not repentance, the key is conversion. You want to be a new creature in Christ, that your sins may be blotted out. Okay, and there's, I mean, we can look at text after text. This is one I love. I have to quote it more often than I'd like, but that's okay. God put it there for that reason. Okay, though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be what? As white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. This is one you should put on the fridge. Okay? So, you accept what God's word says, who you are. You believe that God saves sinners by grace. You confess your sins. Not only does he forgive you, but he cleans you up. And then the fourth thing is you decide, Revelation 3:20, you guys know this one. You decide to do what? Turn the knob, open the door, and let Jesus in. Okay? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, that's the decision we want to make. I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. These are simple steps, simple steps. People ask me, well, how can I be a Christian? People ask me all the time, what do I have to do to be saved? You ever get those questions? Now, we need to think about that as Adventists. Because, well, what do I need to do to be saved? Because I hear people all the time, like I said, I'm really not good enough. I know all the things I'm supposed to do, and, you know, just a huge list, and I don't even get close to getting any of them done. Accept, believe, confess, and decide. Those are important steps to understand. Now, my prayer, what kind of prayer should you have on a regular basis?
I die daily.
Lord, please change me. Lord, please help me to remember that I am redeemed. That's the challenging prayer, because that takes what? Take some faith, because I'm believing that God has forgiven me. So I need to talk and pray. Thank you, God, that you have forgiven me. I don't deserve it. That's the easy part. I know I don't deserve it. But the tough part is walking and talking faith and saying, God, thank you, you have forgiven me. Not because I feel it, but because what? God has promised. Okay? That's one of the most important prayers. Jesus is our Savior. This is the gospel. This is the basics, okay? And Jesus is wanting you to follow him and walk in the path of the cross. And so this is, look at that, 12 o'clock. I planned it ahead, you know. No. Okay, so was the message clear? Anybody, is the message clear? Are you sure? I don't see any hands. How are you saved? By grace, okay? I believe the Bible teaches that people are saved by grace because Jesus died in their place. That actually rhymes. I like that. How many believe that? Do you believe that Jesus saves you by grace? Okay. I see that I am a sinner who deserves death for my sins. Anybody believe that? Okay. And D, I believe that God has forgiven me of all my sins by grace. We're kind of going over these things again. Do you believe that? Are you sure? Because what? As the Bible says. You hear a song like that? That's right. The Bible tells me so. Okay, these are some questions. A quiz. Was there death on earth before Adam and Eve sinned? Okay. Two, list two things that sin produces in our lives. Remember? Anxiety, fear, guilt. Did I hear any others? What was that? The list gets bigger and bigger as it goes, okay? Three, what does the Bible say our righteous acts or our good deeds are like? Filthy rags, filthy rags. If you can remember that, it's really simple. You just say, anything I do, no matter how good it is, it's not good enough to help me get into the kingdom. There's only one thing I can do to get me into the kingdom, okay? And that's believe the scriptures. Four, does God save people because they have done good things for others? Are you sure?
He commends them.
He commends them. I like that. Thank you. But he doesn't save you because you've done good things. Okay? Name two steps to find peace of mind. Okay, you guys are doing well. So what are the four steps? You guys got them all down? Accept, believe, confess, decide. It's okay. You don't have to have the words down perfectly. As long as you understand the gospel, that's the most important thing. And this is the good news. This is good news for all of us. We get to go to the kingdom. Even when we're not that clean. As a matter of fact, you know the story. There was a man, I'm wondering if you remember where the book was. He was a high priest. Old Testament, giving you guys a hint. Zechariah, okay. Chapter 3, thank you. I knew he would know it. He comes, and God is there saying, this guy's covered with filthy rags. So he takes off the filthy rags and he gets his robe of righteousness and covers him with his robe of righteousness. This is exactly what happens with each one of us. I don't care if you're the high priest. You follow what I'm saying? All of us need that robe of righteousness. So we don't get to go with our filthiness. We get to go without our filthiness because Jesus covers each one of us. How many want that robe? How many want that robe? Why don't you stand with me? Those who want that robe. Lord, we just thank you for your promise that you save sinners. And some of us are, like Paul says, like chief. But Lord, you've promised to save the chief of sinners. And if we qualify, we just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come in and help us to realize how much grace we need. And then to realize how much grace you've given us to clean us up. So we can become not the chief of sinners, but we can become sin-free through your word. We just pray, Lord, that you would clean us up, make us new creatures in Christ. Give us your forgiveness. Give us your salvation. We thank you that that day is going to come when Jesus comes again. We're talking about that. Kent was talking about that and singing about it. When Jesus comes again, Lord, that'll be an incredible day. But Lord, I want every one of us to be ready to be able to go with him when he gets here. And you know, there's only one way we can do that, and that's through grace. Please give each one of us your grace. We thank you that you have given it to us. We want to talk faith and walk faith, Lord. Not because we're good enough, but because you have promised. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.